Thank you so much for praying, you guys. I don't know what that does for you guys, but it hits me very powerfully. You know, this is the body of Christ. This is what we do. So thank you for being here for Bob and Betty in that time. So this week we are starting a brand new series that's going to be going for 4 months. There are breaks. Doug and Jason will be preaching, but for 4 months we're going to go through the book of Galatians at length. And we're going to take this walk through and find that Galatians is applicable to us today. Even though maybe the circumstance or the issue that they were facing might be different than what we have to deal with today, but those same truths are applicable to us. Will you take a moment and go to the Lord in prayer with me? Father, again, we come before you on behalf of Bob and Betty Johnson. We ask for your mercy. We trust you, and we rely on you in faith. We know that all of this life, all of what we do, is of grace. Nothing passes through your hands that is a surprise, even though it catches us by surprise. And Father, we pray for your mercy for Bob and for Betty. We pray that this body of believers will rally alongside them and support them. Father, we pray for the doctors and the nurses as they begin to look at Bob. And Father, man, we just pray that you would do a miracle. We know that you still do in these days, and you've done them here. So we pray for the same. Father, act so that you will receive glory. We pray the same thing for the message. Father, we pray that you would move so that you would receive the glory. We pray that hearts and minds would be open to receiving your word, and that we would leave this place changed and empowered to move on in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So there are a couple of things, a couple of arguments that are very popular today for people who like to look at Scripture and discount it, look at Christianity and discount it. One is this: isn't this just a dusty old book? We have to answer that question, because if it is, then it has very little value for us today. But of course, the follower of Jesus knows that it is not a dusty old book. It is a living, breathing document that became flesh in the person of Jesus. Well, what about the point of Scripture? Well, isn't it just a bunch of rules and regulations, a list of do's and don'ts? Well, no, that's the law. The law is in there, but the law, the purpose of it is to show us what's wrong in the first place, to show us what the issue is, to show us our peril, to show us our great need for a Savior. What if this text that we read, what if the Bible truly is the God-inspired word from our divine Father? What if it is an epic tale of divine proportions that tells our story? But not just our story. No. It tells us how we fit in to God's story. This is what Scripture is about. It is about a people who are in peril and a God who saves. So what would it be worth to you for someone to show you your peril, to show you your need for help, your need for a Savior? What would it be worth for you to be shown the mercy of God is rooted in God's nature, not yours? that it's not based on a list of do's and don'ts or your ability to obey. What would it be worth to you for someone to show you that God's mercy to you and to me is all of grace? Watch this video.
Oh, soft. What light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon, who is already pale and sick with grief that thou, fair maid, art far more fair than she. Now don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with texting someone Netflix and pizza, question mark, smiley face emoticon. But isn't there something timeless and classic and beautiful about Shakespeare? Now, the same can be said of a personal handwritten letter to one that you love. Now, sometimes we can lose sight of the fact that that's what Scripture is to us. It is the handwritten, Spirit-breathed Word of God. And, well, that's what the letters that Paul and Peter and John and Jude wrote as well. They're letters to specific people at a specific time to deal with a specific issue. Well, all of those issues apply to us today as well. Maybe not in the same context, but they are applicable to us. And so we're going to read through the entire book of Galatians this morning. That letter that Paul wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the churches of Galatia. Not just so we can get an idea of the issues that they were facing there in Galatia, but so that we can see the sweeping epic of God's purposes for all of humanity and all of time. I mean, just listen to the way Paul opens this letter. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. Amen. So you see, it is the will of God the Father that Christ himself would be given for our sins, so that we would be rescued from this present evil age, and that we would receive through God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ the grace and peace that only he can give. See, it is all of God. It is all of grace. And so this morning we're going to read through the entire book of Galatians and see how it is all of grace, not of works, not of words, not of the intents of our heart. But it is all from the grace of God. It's all of grace. So without further ado from me, let's take a moment and just listen to Paul's letter to the Galatians.
Paul, an apostle, not sent from man nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me. To the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. Amen. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to which we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say now again. If any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still striving to please men, I would not be a bound servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which I preached, which was preached by me, is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and try to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. But when God, who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, he was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I may preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go to Jerusalem for those who were apostles before me. But I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any other of the apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now in what I am writing to you, I assure you before God that I am not lying. Then I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But only they kept hearing. He who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they are glorifying God because of me.
Then, after an interval of 14 years, I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along also. It was because of a revelation that I went up, and I submitted to them the gospel, which I preach among the Gentiles. But I did so in private to those who were of reputation, for fear that I might be running or had run in vain. But not even Titus, who was with me, though he was a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. But it was because of the false brethren secretly brought in, who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage. But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you. But from those who were of high reputation, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. While those were of reputation contributed nothing to me. But on the contrary, seeing that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised, for he who was effectively worked for Peter in his apostleship to the circumcised effectively worked for me also to the Gentiles. And recognizing the grace that had been given to me, James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, so that we might go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They only asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I also was eager to do. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. The rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in the presence of all, if you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? We are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. But if, while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be. For if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly.
You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "All the nations will be blessed in you." So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them." Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in terms of human relations. Even though it is only a man's covenant, yet when it has been ratified, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, "and to seeds," as referring to many, but rather to one. "And to your seed," that is, Christ. What I am saying is this: the law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. For if the inheritance is based on law, it is no longer based on a promise, but God has granted it to Abraham by means of a promise. Why the law then? It was added because of transgressions, having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator until the seed would come to whom the promise had been made. Now, a mediator is not for one party only, whereas God is only one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? May it never be. For if a law had been given which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on law. But the Scripture has shut up everyone under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ
have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise.
Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. However, at that time when you did not know God, you were slaves to those which by nature are no gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. I beg of you, brethren, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You have done me no wrong, but you know that it was because of a bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time, and that which was a trial to you in my bodily condition, you did not despise or loathe, but you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Where then is that sense of blessing you had? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? They eagerly seek you, not commendably, but they wish to shut you out so that you will seek them. But it is good always to be eagerly sought in a commendable manner, and not only when I am present with you. My children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. But I could wish to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. Tell me, you who want to be under law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. But the son by the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son by the free woman through the promise. This is allegorically speaking, for these women are two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more numerous are the children of the desolate than of the one who has a husband. And you, brethren, like Isaac, the children of promise. But as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, so it is now also. But what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free woman.
It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you received circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who called you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you and the Lord that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn from freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another.
Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another, for each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. See with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I would boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything or uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. For now on, let no one cause trouble for you, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, would be with your spirit, brethren. Amen.
Amen. Word of the Lord. Amen. I hope that in that time you saw the sweeping epic. It's almost too much to take in all in one sitting. I pray that if you heard something and the Spirit tweaked something in you, wait, what? Go back. Look at those things. As I've said many times before, what we do in this church is we do not call you to us. We do not call you to follow me, the senior pastor. I don't call you to serve your way into heaven. It is impossible to do so. It is all of grace. And so what is God's gracious reminder to us this morning? Four things. In Christ, we are sent. We are forgiven of sins. We are rescued from this present evil age. And we are sons and daughters of the living God. Through Christ, this is the truth of the gospel. And it does not matter if you have heard from pastors or Christians in the past. Well, yeah, you come to Christ, but you've also got to do this first, and then you'll be accepted. Well, you've got to clean up this sin that I see in your life, and then you can come to Christ. What does the gospel say here in Galatians? We are made perfect by the Spirit. And then it is the Spirit of God in us that works in us to be perfected by that Spirit, not by the flesh. Sometimes we can get that twisted and we lose the power of the grace of the gospel of God through Christ. It is all of grace. It is all of God. It is all of Christ. When he said, "It is finished," church, he meant it. And so if this doesn't mean anything to you today, or you're struggling with this, I've got to say the truth to you. Just like Paul said here in this letter, am I now your enemy because I tell you the truth? The truth is, if you are outside of Christ, then you stand under the just and holy wrath of God. If you are outside of Christ, hell is your destination. I would love to tell you otherwise, but this is the truth. Church membership does not save you. Saying a prayer does not save you. Getting baptized does not save you. Saying a prayer, did I say that already? Saying a prayer does not save you. Doing great things for others does not save you. Being the most loving person does not save you. It is Christ who saves. And when Christ saves, we are baptized into the body of Christ. What did he say in Galatians? You have clothed yourselves with Christ. And so God the Father, in his holy justice, he does not see you and credit wrath to your account, but he sees the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, and he says the debt is paid. You are holy. You are righteous in Christ. And as Paul said, that is a change. That is a new creation. What does Jesus say? A bad tree does not bear bad fruit. A good, wait, what, did I say it wrong? I did? Okay, a bad tree does not bear good fruit. I didn't say that? Seriously? Okay, all right. See, this is why I don't call you to me. I can make mistakes, right? Yeah? A bad tree does not bear good fruit, Jesus said. Neither does a good tree bear bad fruit. Now, we're not talking about being sinless and being perfect, but when you look at the scope of a person's life, They have repented and trusted in Christ, and they will live a life of continued repentance and transformation, and you will see this fruit of the Spirit developing in their life. This is the truth of the gospel. If you don't know these things, then the just and holy wrath of God is against you. You will either pay for your sins through all of eternity, or you will pay for your sins now by laying them at the foot of the cross and trusting in Christ. This morning, if you have not done that, do not think that you are given more time. You don't know. I don't know. I would love to tell you. All you have to do is say this prayer and you're good. All you have to do is get dunked under the water and you're good. If you have not submitted to Christ, you're just getting wet. If you're just saying words and your life is not transformed by the Spirit of God, you're just saying words. I challenge you to submit to Christ this morning. If you want to know what that is about, come forward and we will talk about it as long as we need to. This is a matter of life and death, and our eternity is on the line. So as the worship team comes forward to lead us in a song of invitation, this is your time to respond in some way, shape, or form. Maybe it's to seek prayer. Maybe it's to join this body of believers. We are not perfect, but we worship the God who is. Maybe you've never submitted to Christ. Come forward. Let's talk about that. Let's start that story in your life. Because when we trust in Christ, the story changes. There's a new chapter that's turned. Turn that next page this morning as we sing. Please stand.